is too good to be unkind. Thank you, honey. Thank you so much. Take your Bibles, please, and look at Ezra chapter 2. As your eyes scan over this chapter, you see, oh my goodness, chapter 2, we've got genealogies. Well, not really. It's not really genealogies. You'll see that this is a list of an army of God. God had a plan. God had a purpose. God had a work to accomplish. And these are the people that God used to do it. And it was not the whole children of Israel. In fact, it was not even the southern kingdom that was taken away in captivity. It was just a portion. You have to understand that the Babylonians, whenever they took Israel into captivity, 70 years they lived in this captivity, and the Babylonians and the Persians wanted them to adapt. They wanted to integrate them into their system. Let me remind you that Satan wants to integrate God's people into the world. That's why the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, Daniel was one of those young people right in the very beginning who they tried to brainwash, who they tried to say, "I know that you grew up with your mom and dad saying that you shouldn't eat this and you shouldn't do that and you shouldn't go here." But really, they don't really know what's best. We are the ruling emperors of the entire world. And we're going to tell you that we are inviting you to have positions of power. All you have to do is just get along. Just go along with what we have to say and you'll be just fine. Our children attend schools and attend colleges where they try to force them into a certain pattern, into a certain mold. Daniel was one of those that said, "Hey, listen, I don't care what you say. I don't do what I do because my parents or my friends say it. I do it because God says it." And so there is just a few. There's a remnant. All throughout, there was a remnant who followed the Lord and followed His Word. And what we have here listed is a little less than 50,000 people. You say, that's a lot of folks. Listen, of those who were, according to historians, Israel was in the millions. In the millions. And they were there in Babylon and in this area under Cyrus the Persian, as we dealt with last time. But less than 50,000 people said, "Yes, I hear the call of God and I'll obey." The Bible says, this is by way of introduction, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, if you know the verse, quote it with me, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." It goes on to say it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So that means that even this passage here, in Ezra chapter 2, there was a work to accomplish. And God shows us, I think we're going to see, four groups of people that God uses to accomplish His work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so very much that we can trust in You, even when we can't see Your plan. And if we can't trace Your hand, Lord, we can trust Your heart. And Lord, I thank You so very much for Your precious Word and how You spoke to Israel and You told them in advance that after 70 years, You're going to bring them back into the promised land and You're going to use a man named Cyrus. And he was not even on anyone's radar whenever that prophecy was given. But Lord, You saw the future before it ever took place. Nothing is a surprise to Thee. And I ask You, Lord, that You would help us to take comfort in that. There are people who are suffering, people who are going through difficult burdens in their own lives. And I pray, Lord, that they would find renewed strength and comfort in that You are the great shepherd of our souls. And Lord, I pray that You would speak to us now through Your precious Word. Holy Spirit, fill me anew and afresh, I pray. Give me Your words. And Lord, I pray that You would bless Your church in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Ezra chapter 2, we finished Ezra chapter 1 looking at the resources for God's work. We're going to see in chapter 2 the remnant to do God's work. This is just a portion of God's people, but every person is important to the Lord. Every person. And that's what, if you only take away that from this passage, may I remind you that God does not need a church clerk to keep up with His church. Now, to keep up with all the different things of our people and stuff like that, that's a good thing to have. But God keeps all the records up in heaven. And here's just one of them, inspired and God breathed for us. Chapter 2, verse 1, now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those which had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away unto Babylon, and came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, everyone unto his city. Now, a lot of these names are going to be hard to read. We're not going to read through all of this passage, okay? We'll leave that to you that you can read at your leisure. But look at verse 2, which came with Zerubbabel and Jeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Realiah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispar, Bigbai, Rehum, and Behana, the number of the men of the people of Israel. Now, these that are listed here in the first sentence in verse 2, these represent the first group that God uses, that God lists here, to accomplish any work for God. I believe it takes four groups of people. The first group is the leadership. The leadership. If you look, please, at which came with Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel, he was in the lineage of David. He was an heir to the throne of King David. He's in the lineage of Christ. You'll find him listed. He's a prince of Israel. He's royalty, you might say. Okay? And so he has a position of leadership, and he leads this first group, this 50,000 strong a group of people, back to Israel. 1,000 miles. They didn't have planes, they didn't have trains, they didn't have automobiles. They traveled on 1,000 miles. Now, the Bible goes on to list another name, Jeshua. Now, Jeshua, he is the chief priest. He's the head of the priests. So you might say that of this first return back to Israel, you might say that they were the Moses and Aaron. They were the leaders. But you see, it wasn't just Moses and Aaron. It wasn't just Zerubbabel and Jeshua. It lists 9 other names here. Nehemiah, Seraiah, and so on and so forth. These 9 other names. Leaders. Counselors. People that they relied upon. And that's very important. It's not just the pastor that's important. Folks, it's every single person that's important to Almighty God. Every single person takes 4 groups of people. And within this first group of people, it's not just Zerubbabel, and it's not just the chief priest, but there are 9 other names of men. Now, you're not going to find really that many names of people. You're going to find groups of people, descendants of people. But here in this passage, it lists 11 leaders. Could you imagine the difficulty in trying to do some kind of sales job? Could you imagine, as Zerubbabel and Jeshua say, "Hi, my name is Zerubbabel, this is Jeshua, and we're going back to Israel. We're going to travel 1,000 miles. Not sure exactly what all we're going to get into. When we get there, though, we're going to find that we're going to rebuild the temple of Israel there in Jerusalem. And it's nothing but rubble right now. It's all even with the ground. There's nothing to really start with. We're starting from scratch. And guess what? We need you to help build it." Now, he's talking to Israelites who now have a home. They were allowed to actually have property. They're in Persia. They could live as Persians. They had things. They had jobs. They had all the trappings of what we enjoy as Americans. And he was saying, "I want you to leave all of that and come back to Israel with us. Go back to your homeland." And he's talking to some who have never, ever been to Israel. They've heard about it from maybe mom or dad. They've heard about it from maybe their grandparents, but they've been there 70 years. And some of them, Babylon is the only thing they've ever known. Now, could you imagine? No wonder there's so many hundreds of thousands of people, yea, millions of people, that said, no, thank you. We don't want any part of that. That sounds like too much work. Sounds like I have to give up too much. But without leaders, that was a dead deal. And so God gave counselors and God gave leaders to accomplish His work. Look, please, back at verse 2. At the end of verse 2, the Bible says in the second sentence, the number of the men of the people of Israel, and we find the second group, after leadership, we find the group we call laymen. Laymen. Verse 2 through verse 35. And if you look, please, in verse number 3, through verse number 20, we have them grouped by family name. Do you see that in verse 3? The children of Parosh, 2,172. The children of Shephatiah, 372. And so on and so forth. Okay, so through verse 20, we have this group of people listed by family name at first. In other words, they were somebodies. They were from families of notoriety. Sometimes you might know someone in a church somewhere, maybe a large church, and you say their last name. Oh, yeah, I know that family. Why? Because they maybe gave certain amount. They maybe serve in some leadership capacity. They might sing. They might be an usher. They might, I don't know. But you might know their name. In this case, they might have been a pretty large property owner. In this case, they might have had some sort of importance. And in verse 21 through verse 35, though, we find them listed by town. Look at verse 21. The children of Bethlehem, 123. The men of Netophah, 56. And so on and so forth. Where are you from? And you heard Brother Jim as he talked about Soldiers of the Cross and visiting folks in the church and ask him, where are you from? My mother tells me this story. My mother and all of her people were from Roane County, West Virginia. And in Roane County, they grew up in a town. Some of you have heard this term before, called Looneyville. That's where her mom and dad had a little store there in Looneyville and that kind of thing. And everybody in that area knew where Looneyville was, and no one laughed like you just laughed, okay? When Looney Tunes. But that's where they lived. And now the next big town, and really where they also grew up, and where my grandfather pastored a church, was called Spencer, West Virginia. Now, as she was growing up in that area, and even when she went to work at the in Charleston at the state capitol as a secretary and things like that, and when people said, where are you from? She said, Looneyville. Oh, I know where that's at. That's there in Roane County. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. She would not say Spencer. You know why? Because the state mental hospital was in Spencer. And everyone in West Virginia knew that. And so when you laughed about Looneyville, if she said, I'm from Spencer, then, oh, really? Crazy town, huh? Yeah. She went off to college, went to Bob Jones University, went off to college. And when she went to college, she found out that they did not know that anything about West Virginia. They didn't know that Spencer was the state mental hospital. She said, I'm from Looneyville, West Virginia. They would laugh. And so she said, oh, I'm from Spencer, West Virginia. Oh, okay, where's that? That kind of thing. A lot of you, you hail from certain areas. That was the situation here. In some cases, they were from a family that people would recognize. In some cases, they were from a town that people would recognize. Bethlehem and so on and so forth. But folks, listen please. In all these cases, what was required? You didn't have to come from a certain family. You didn't have to come from a certain town. You just simply had to have an obedient heart. You had to hear the call of God. And God prophesied in advance that after 70 years, He would send His people of Israel back home to their homeland. He says, time to go. Come on, let's go. And when He called, most of them stayed home. Now, there had to be some leaders to say, this is the way. This is the way God's leading. This is the plan that God's giving. And y'all, come on now. And the great bulk of the congregation was in this group referred to that we affectionately call the laymen. And may I add this? I believe that some of God's greatest rewards are for laymen in the church. People have not been called to go around the world as a missionary. People that have not been called to stand and proclaim the Word of God in a pulpit as a pastor. But people that God has called to do a mighty work for Him. And because of their obedience, God has an impact on eternal souls that no pastor, no missionary could ever reach. I encourage you, please, look at this group and say, if that's me, if that's my calling, Lord, help me to do what these folks did. They were just simply obedient. And they're listed. They're listed. God says you're important. The leaders and the laymen. And then we see in verse 36, look at verse 36, we see the Lord's ministers. The leaders, the laymen, and the Lord's ministers. To accomplish God's work, he lists here in verse 36, the priests. The children of Jediah, of the house of Jeshua, 973. And it lists some others there. Okay, so only four verses about the priests. Look at verse 40. The Levites, the children of Jeshua. Look at the end of the verse 40 where it says how many. How many was it? 74. Now, get the picture here. When King David organized the priests, there were 24 family groups. 24 family groups. Only four of those 24 are even mentioned that they're coming back. Now, these are the priests. Only four families are represented. Where are the other 20? They're still back in Babylon. They're not involved. They're too busy. These are the ones who were born, had a birthright, that were born into this privilege of serving the Lord in the temple. And only four family groups are saying, yes, Lord, I hear your call. I will obey you. Now, of the priests, you have, drawing from the priests, are the Levites. So, let's say, if there were, just for sake of illustration, if there were in the population, let's say, 10 priests, there would be 100 Levites. Because from the Levites draw the priests, okay? From the tribe of Levi. But there are less Levites coming back than there are priests. There's only 74. I mean, we're talking a spiritual problem. Amongst those who should be spiritually attuned. Boy, that's embarrassing. That's really embarrassing. How could that happen to God's people? How could they get out of tune? It happened right here. And then look at verse 41. The Bible says, the singers, the children of Asaph, 128. So 128 singers. Now, the choir numbered in the hundreds back in Solomon's day. In the hundreds. We only had 128 singers. Verse 42 talks about ushers. 139 ushers. The Bible refers to them as porters. Literally, that word is gatekeepers. Porters. Remember in the book of Psalms, I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord. So this thing of ushers and all these folks are needed in the Lord's ministry. These are Lord's ministers. And we read on. Look at verse 43. The Nethinims, verse 43. The Nethinims. Nethinim means dedicated ones. Means dedicated ones. Now, let me explain what happened here with the Nethinims. These are folks who were not part of the Levitical tribe. They were folks who dedicated themselves to do whatever needed to be done there at the house of God. Furthermore, it goes on to say in verse 55, look at verse 55. The children of Solomon's servants, and it lists a bunch there. Solomon's servants. When you do some study on that, you'll find that these are folks who were conquered people. They were not Israelites. And they were allowed to be circumcised. They agreed to be circumcised. And they would dedicate themselves, along with the Nethinims, they would dedicate themselves to be servants there at the temple. There were 392 of these conquered people to serve in the temple. Their birthright was captivity. So here's these people, they're in Babylon. And when he says, okay, I want you, as many as will come back to Israel with us. Here's these Nethinims. They don't have the tribe of Levi. They don't have this birthright. They don't have a position of a family and all of that. And there's a bunch of them that say, I want to serve God. I just want to do whatever I can, whatever they'll let me do. I'll never be a priest. I'll never take part but I'll clean up and I'll do whatever. I'll do that. I'm dedicated to Almighty God. And then these others, Solomon's servants, that was the nickname that God's people had for them. These were conquered people. Some of them might have been Canaanites, might have been Philistines. I don't know. But they had a heart for Almighty God. And they were circumcised and they were adopted into to serving in some way there. And they came back. These are the Lord's ministers. Priests, Levites, singers, ushers, Nethinims, and Solomon's servants. That brings us to verse 59. Look at verse 59. And these were they which went up from Telmalah to Harsa, Cherub, Aden, Immer. But they could not show their father's house and their seed whether they were of Israel. So we've talked about the leaders, we've talked about the laymen, we've talked about the Lord's ministers, and now the fourth group that came back with them were the leftovers. These are folks who could not prove their lineage. They didn't have their birth certificate. Have any of you had to, because you lost your birth certificate, has anybody had in here had to get their birth certificate from the government and solicit? Okay, some have, yeah. Did you realize that if you, I didn't understand this when I moved to Florida, but because of all the Homeland Security things and stuff, you have to have all kinds of proof of who you are in order to get a driver's license. And one of those things that they really want you to have is a birth certificate. And these were folks that they could not prove, they could not find in the register anywhere, they could not trace the lineage, they didn't have Ancestry.com, they didn't have any ways to prove who they were related to. But they said, I want to go. I want to go back. I heard Grandpa talk about Solomon's Temple. And I heard how that the prophets prophesied that if the people of Israel would not repent, that God would judge. And God did exactly that. And then 70 years of chastisement upon God's people. And after that, that God would bring His people back home again. And we've been looking forward to that. And what, I'm not on the list? You mean I can't go? He said, it's all right. We'll put you on this new list right here. I want you to see something, because you're going to like this. Hold your place there and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 12 with me. We went verse by verse through Ephesians, and so this might be familiar to you, but it connects very, very well. Ephesians 2, verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Who is that talking about? Venture a guess. Who is it talking about? Us. Gentiles. Okay? Now, if you have Jewish lineage, okay, then it's not necessarily pointing you out, not necessarily putting the spotlight on you if you have Jewish lineage. Our lineage does not get us to heaven, by the way. Only the blood of Jesus Christ gets anyone to heaven, Jew or Gentile alike. Okay? But it used to be that salvation was of the Jews. We read that in Scripture. And I'm thankful for the Jewish people. I'm thankful for Israel, God's chosen people. They gave us the Bible. They gave us our Savior. I'm thankful. But folks, salvation is not through a lineage. And so we see in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. God says, yeah, come on up here. Come on close to me. This is a place right here beside me. Because of Jesus Christ, because of His shed blood. I quoted this on Sunday morning, John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power and become the sons of God. Verse 14, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and so on and so forth in this passage. A great teaching of God's truth, that we who were leftovers, Gentiles, we could not claim that we were in the lineage of God's chosen people, that we were without hope. Here's these leftover folks that somehow in the records or something, they could not be proven that they were so-and-so's son, so-and-so's son, so-and-so's son. And in these four groups of accomplishing a great work for God, rebuilding His temple, and God's, He's recording it in the eternal Word of God for us. Here's all these people. He says, okay, here's one more group that's very important. They're the leftovers, and they're very important. Don't want to miss a one of them. I'm thankful that God counts us as important. I'm thankful that there's a place for us in the family of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The leftovers. Now, if you would say here tonight, well, I don't know if I'd be considered part of the leadership of God's work or not. But you know what? I can swing a hammer. If you can swing a hammer for the ministry. I can drive a car. If you can drive a car, then drive a car for the ministry. I can clean a toilet. Well, then clean a toilet for the ministry. I can cook a meal. Well, then cook a meal for the ministry. Find something that you can do in the work of Almighty God. God is keeping the records. He's writing the names down. And He says that each and every one of you are important. And if you get nothing else in this passage, remember that God is keeping the record. A whole chapter God gave to the 49,000 plus that came back, traveled 1,000 miles. They were the pioneers to come back home to do an impossible task. God gave them resources, and God gave them a remnant. In Nehemiah, these are some of the same people, by the way, that in Nehemiah built the walls. After building the temple, they built the walls. And they built the walls in how many days? You got it close. What was it? 52. 52 days. How many of you have been to Israel? Would you raise your hands? Have you seen those walls? They built those walls in 52 days. That's miraculous. How in the world does that happen? Now, of course, the stones weren't too far off. You know, they knocked down the walls and all that kind of thing. They didn't have to carry the stones of the wall too far because they're not going to carry them, you know. And so they were near, but they had a lot of work at 52 days. Don't you know? These are the same people that said, "We can do this with God's help. We rebuilt that temple. And God used us to do a miraculous work. And the work of God was accomplished." There were leaders. There were laymen. There were the Lord's ministers. And there were leftovers. It takes all of us working together. And here on Thursday night, after what our church has been through, and here you are. Bless your hearts. I hope you will never, ever, ever just follow a man. Follow God. And as long as that man is following God, then you can pretty safely, if you can verify in some way in your heart by the Holy Spirit speaking and leading, and that the Holy Spirit is leading that man, then you can be in alignment with that man. But always keep your eye on God. Always. He will never fail you. I may have shared this at some point, I don't know. There was a particular family that had three generations of folks who served God. Three generations. And I was very familiar. And the fourth generation was coming along. And I was very familiar with this family. Not part of... I just knew of them. I knew of them. And I served with some of the fourth generation ones as a counselor at a camp. And God had called me to preach when I was in ninth grade. And was at that camp. And here, 4 years later, I'm serving as a counselor there. And I said, "Now, Lord, I hear so many terrible stories about preachers' kids. I've seen it happen so many times. So, dear Lord, please, I will serve you. I will go where you want me to go. I'll do my best to allow you to preach through me. I want you to put me on like a glove. Lord, you use me. I'm surrendering my all for you. This is ninth grade. And I know you don't make deals with God. But I said, Lord, would you please give me my family? I'm so scared to step out and be a preacher for you if I might lose my family. Would you please help me and guide me?" And so I was looking for folks that I could learn from. And here was this three-generation proven, fourth generation coming along. And I thought, boy, I need to sit down with this man. His first name was Jim. I need to sit down with Jim. He was, you know, kind of up in years, but I need to sit down with him. He's a very important man, and I'll just tell him and share with him my heart's desire and things. And I need some counsel, some wisdom. What have you done? What'd you do? And while I was there that summer, as a summer counselor, a spiritual nuclear explosion happened in that family. Happened in the life of that man. It just about knocked the foundations out from under me. After I was, you know, I was mully grumping around, you know, and the Lord told me in my heart, He said, "Son, don't keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. On man, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. I was real close to worshiping a man. Real close. It takes a whole body to accomplish a great work for God. And God puts people in that body, and He listed it. And what a beautiful example in Ezra 2. When God wants to accomplish a great work, He takes people and puts them in the positions where He needs them. And guess what? I don't care how good your eyes are. If you have no kidneys, you're going to die. I don't care how fast your feet are. If your heart stops, you're going to die. It takes all the parts of the body to function together. And if we'll do that, God's work can be accomplished through us. And He gets the glory. No one person. He gets the praise. And we're going to see that happen for us right before our very eyes in Ezra as we go through this. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Lord Jesus, I pray now that You would help us to learn great spiritual truth, even from a list of names. And how important it is to see that You put this in here for us to learn from. A picture that the Apostle Paul points out so clearly in the New Testament, but we see it in action in the Old Testament. Thank You, Lord, for the example. I pray now that You would help us just to be content with whatever station that You've given to us, and to be faithful and to be obedient, Lord, so that You receive the glory. Thank You so much for what You're doing in our midst. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ.